heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You're flying high with Locked On Eagles, presented by LockedOnEagles.com. We are your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sports Network. Follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, my own personal Pontifex Maximus, the unparalleled, the unrivaled, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solek of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solek. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, I assume the streak is intact, but I want to know anyway because I care. How you doing, brother?
Good. That was a 52-second intro. I'm not ready for any of this nonsense. No, I'm doing well. I had a pretty crazy night, man, as far as watching Louisville and NC State for NDT Scouting, which was a really fun game. A lot of cool prospects in there. You know, watching Lamar Jackson's always fun. But a lot of good players on the Wolfpack as well. Bradley Chubb is a doggone good football player. And then I've got open just on the other tab this New England-Tampa Bay game, because I put money on New England covering the spread. In New England, after losing at home, I think it is, in Tom Brady's career, he's 20-3 against the spread the next game after losing at home. So, all right, this will be easy. So I put it on my bookie. It's +5 for New England. And they just sat all game right around 5 and just refused to extend the lead at all. And they're up by 5 with 40 seconds left, and they let the Bucs take it all the way down for a Hail Mary, and I'm just staring at NFL Gamecast like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And so we're good. I just got my money back, but still, that was stressful.
Yeah, Nick Folk made you some non-money.
I'm the only person that Nick Folk made money for tonight. Everybody else, including Nick Folk, lost significant money from Nick Folk tonight.
So is that piece on NDT Scouting up for the NC State Louisville game?
Oh, most definitely. You know this.
Nice. So go to NDT Scouting. Check out Ben's work on the game tonight. You are probably watching NFL if you're listening to this, but you may have caught the Louisville NC State game. If so, and if not, go check that piece out. Okay, real quick before we get to the preview and the meat and potatoes of this show today, I want to give a quick shout out again to loyal listener Jeff Schramm.
Jeff's the man.
Yeah, dude. @Jeff_Schramm. He pointed out that the Cowboys played the Rams on a 10-day mini-bye. And this game against the Packers they have coming up, the Packers had played a Thursday night game beforehand, just like the Rams. So the Cowboys get back-to-back 10-day mini-bye games, which is excellent, man. I absolutely love the way the NFL set that up. So I'm going to go ahead and call it Cowboys loss right here.
Oh, yeah. I've already got that that down in my Bleeding Green Nation picks for the week. I had the Rams last week. I've got the Packers again this week, man. That's another game that I might put money on, because the Packers right now, I think, are 2-point underdogs, I think. And I'm down with taking the money line there, because I think they might win outright.
Very nice. Very nice. So, Ben, we are a couple of days away from Eagles-Cardinals in Week 5 action. So that would be the focus for the rest of this show. And I got to tell you, normally I go through a range of emotions during the week leading up to the game. I am feeling really confident about this game.
That's never good.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's either that or I'm having a stroke. So, Ben, is your gut feeling that this is a W for the Eagles, or do you smell that burnt toast?
So I'll ask you this, because this is kind of how I've been thinking about it so far this week. I think I already know your answer, but were you more scared of the Chargers game than this game?
Yes.
See, I'm the other way. I'm more scared about this game. And I'll tell you why. We talked about this a little bit beforehand, where this is an Eagles secondary, very injured, that's given up consecutive 70-plus yard touchdowns through the air in the past two games to the Giants and to the Chargers. Now, both of those plays being by far the longest passing plays those two teams had up to that point. It's only been one per game. But now that the tape's out there, and now that it's been happening consistently, you're going up against an Arizona team that excels at pushing the ball down the field and has the receivers, has the speed to do it. I still think the Eagles win this game. I still think they're the more talented team. They're at home. They're coming off of a couple wins. They should be favored. But the way this game gets out of hand is if the Cardinals can put together a few big plays, if they can string together a few, and we know that they have that capability. So I'm a little bit more scared about this game Then I was the Chargers game, and that's where I am right now.
Counterpoint, okay?
All right.
The Cardinals have a long reception of 46 yards. Guess who it's by?
Larry Fitzgerald.
MoMA.
Oh, Ifeanyi MoMA? That guy's still doing stuff? He's the man. I love that guy.
They haven't hit one for over 50 yards this season, so I mean,
The Giants hadn't hit a pass over 40 yards before the Eagle game, and I think the longest for the Chargers was right around 40 before the Eagle game. So that means a 75-yard touchdown's coming.
Dang it, Ben. I think we can expect to see a lot of passing from this game from the Cardinals. The run-pass ratio is 30-70, which is some Andy Reid in Philadelphia type-ish.
That's some nonsense.
Yeah. Arizona leads the league in passes per game with 45, which is four attempts higher than the second-place Giants, teehee. But they really haven't been explosive. They rank 20th in the league in passing yards per play. And here's a fun one, Ben. Palmer has 5 touchdown passes, right? So that's worth 30 points. He is currently being outscored by their kicker, Phil Dawson, who is responsible for 32 points. So do you think this hard lean towards the passing game is who the Cardinals have become since losing David Johnson? Or do you believe that the ratio is inflated due to a negative game script that they've been dealing with throughout the season, and that they can dole out some yards in the run game if they get a lead?
The answer is all the above, as it always is when it comes to these sort of things. And if you're on a 70-30 script, then you know it's multiple contributing factors, or right. a 7-30 split, excuse me, because that's absurd and a half. That's crazy. I'm pretty sure the Justice Mosqueda put out the numbers of run value, you know, as far as percentage off of the NFL average, and the Cardinals were the worst team with 33.3% below the average, which means however much the average NFL team is running the ball, the Cardinals are running it 2/3 the number of times, which is nuts. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, so we're in week 4. They don't have a running back with 100 yards rushing.
Which, I mean, and God bless, obviously, you know, for those of you who don't necessarily follow the Cardinals too closely, David Johnson, fantastic running back for the Cardinals, down early in the year, dislocated left wrist, so he's on IR. Earliest he can come back is in the beginning of November, so he's not going to be there for the Eagles. They've, of course, replaced his snaps with Chris Johnson and Andre Ellington, but Ellington's been mostly the receiving back as far as he saw like 14 some targets last week, I think it was. He's primarily being used as a receiver, whereas, you know, the Cardinals have been trying for the past couple years to milk as much production as they can out of the old CJ2K machine there and seeing how much yards they can get out of him. Eagles' run defense has been pretty solid over the past few weeks. Melvin Gordon was relatively well handled. Do you anticipate anything different happening this week or no?
I mean, honestly, it was against our run defense was good. It was against two teams that don't stick with the run, and the Cardinals don't stick with the run, and I see it happening very similar. I mean, even with Fletcher Cox out last week, we didn't see much of a change there. So, I mean, I thought we were very stout outside of that one run to your boy Eckler. I thought it was good, and I really don't. Yeah. That's not where we're going to get hurt. You know what I mean? All right, so I put a poll out there. Let me pull this.
Oh, I didn't see this. What's this poll?
Okay. Ooh, then I get to surprise you.
Give me that gut reaction.
Okay, so the Cardinals have yet to allow a team to pass for 300 yards or run for 100 yards against them in 2017. Do the Eagles, and I'll tell you the results of this once you answer, do the Eagles accomplish one of those feats, both of those feats, or none?
All right. While I'm answering, I'm going to burn time so I can look up the Eagles' stats passing
with
this
the
year.
Jimmy Kemsky filibuster, I like
it. I think the rushing over 100 is a gimme, because I think game script will serve well for Philadelphia, and they've broken 190 over the past two games, and so I think 100 is a pretty reasonable assumption. Now, Carson Wentz over those two games hasn't passed for more than 240 yards, right? And we haven't seen the deep ball getting any better, so I don't really think he's going to get some big chunk yardage plays. So I'll go with yes, 100 rushing, and no, they don't pass 300 passing.
That's what I would have gone with. Okay,
that's because you're a smart guy, Mike.
All right. Yeah, I think the game script leads to us having over 100 yards rushing. This is what disappoints me, okay? So the way that my followers have it, I think I have my Twitter followers include far too many enemies of the state of Philadelphia due to some of my draft work, because right now neither is leading with 35%.
Ouch. Right?
Let me turn to the audience real quick. Mr. Producer, I'm going to need some background music that starts sad and gradually becomes uplifting. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. Look, I don't ask for much, but I come to you now in a time of need, and and I beseech you to tell all of your fellow Eagle-loving friends about this show. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelJKiss. Tell them to follow me and Ben, or you can't be friends anymore. And tell them to go to LockedOnEagles.com for the best news and analysis, because the lack of faith in the Eagles from my followers is just a bummer, man. I mean, you get it, right? There's a time for pessimism, and this ain't it. So this is a call to action. I urge you to join Ben and I in being genuinely excited about this team. And bring your bannermen, because winter is coming and we need every able man and woman to join us in this fight against the devious forces of Colin Cowherd and the NFC East. And while you're at it, remember to rate, review, and leave your Twitter handle in the review to enter a chance at winning a free PFF Edge subscription. On behalf of me and my family, I thank you for keeping us in your thoughts from the bottom of my heart.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst. Catalyst.
Okay, Ben, moving on. Should we talk about the Eagles killer, the ageless Larry Fitzgerald? He leads their team in targets with 41. Patrick Robinson, according to PFF, is having the best season of his career and has nearly doubled his grade
CB1
that he had last year. No, because that means he would have to play on the outside. But that's important, though, because Larry, and I'm hoping my memory is accurate on this, Larry, entering last week, was playing 67% of his snaps from the slot, so he's going to see a lot of Patrick Robinson. Let's go with another over-under, okay? And we could put this poll out there on Twitter, too. What was the average that you had for Larry Fitzgerald against the Eagles? It was something like six catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown, is that?
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald over 7 games against the Eagles, averages 9 targets, 6 receptions, 99 yards, and a touchdown.
Okay. Over-under, Ben, what do you have?
On that stat line?
Yes.
Well, all right, so there's 4 individual aspects of that stat line. So I guess going down the line,
let's call it fantasy points. Work it into fantasy points. Let's call it 100 yards even, so that's 10 points, and then you got a touchdown, so that's 6 points. So that's 16 plus 6 targets in a PPR, a full PPR. You got 22 points. Over under on 22 fantasy points for Larry Fitzgerald.
Wow, that's such a high number. Jeez, it just sounds even worse when you put it in that framework. I will go... Oh, man. All right, I want to see how he's done so far just in 2017 in general. I feel like my initial thought is I want to go for the over, and here's why. Because the split has been so bad, like you say. You know, we've talked about how much they're throwing the football, but also because I think that he's just going to be that huge volume sucker. I think that you'll probably see, yeah, he's been targeted 13 times and 15 times so far this year in week 1 and week 3. And so I think that, yeah, he's going to see double digit targets. I think that's what I'm relying on as far as him breaking 22 fantasy points. You know, it's tough to say, will he score a touchdown or not? You know, I don't know how much the Cardinals are going to get down there, to be frank. I don't know if they can sustain drives, but I think you're going to see, you know, in the film work I've done with the Cardinals, if it's 3rd and above 4, they're going to put Larry Fitzgerald in some sort of stack or bunch or trips, right, and they're going to work him through traffic and hit him for 6 yards. And so I just think he's going to see an inordinate number of targets against all of these Eagle cornerbacks, not only Patrick Robinson. By the way, I thought you said Patrick Peterson. That's why I said CB1. Patrick Robinson is not CB1. Let's make that very clear.
All right, so corrections and omissions. About 2 minutes ago, Ben said that Patrick Robinson was in fact CB1. Lie detector says that that's a lie.
Nice.
So, okay. What kind of game are you expecting from Carson Wentz? And look, man, I was watching this Bucks-Patriots game, okay?
Yeah.
And Jameis Winston played like trash for a lot of it. It gets me. I actually called Arif on their Vikings. Arif Hassan is someone from Vikings Twitter that had Vernon Adams QB1 that has been a big detractor of Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, and other quarterbacks that are absolutely proving him wrong. So they had a show. You can find it on my Twitter timeline. I retweeted it and I left some comments and whatnot. You can find this little feud that we're having. I called in and I defended our boy Carson Wentz to Arif. I don't see Arif calling Jameis Winston out for the same game. If Carson had the same game that Jameis had against a Patriots secondary and defense that was giving up the most yards per play in the NFL, he would have been all over him. But because it's Jameis Winston, and because you already have that take that Jameis Winston is a franchise quarterback and you can fire and forget, that you don't come after him like you would Carson Wentz. I don't think there's a big difference between the two, to be honest with you. They both have inconsistencies with their games, and they both have pretty high ceilings. You know what I mean? So going on with that, what do you expect from Carson in this game? Alshon's going to be locked up with Patrick Peterson. Oof. And then you've got Justin Bethel on the outside, who I think can be exposed. What do you expect from Carson and from the Eagles wide receivers, or just their receiving options in general?
Carson's past two, and I'll say Carson's past two games have been the exact sort of games that I want to see from him. Not from the sense of this is who he's going to be forever and this is the quarterback he should play as, but in the sense that I wanted him to prove that he could do it. And these were two games where he only brought together, he only had two touchdowns. It was zero interceptions. He only attempted 62 passes, 31 per game, only 418 yards over these two games. That's not big numbers for what Carson Wentz usually puts up, but he was so safe with the football. He threw very, very accurate balls. He didn't press it into coverage the way that he tends to. He was incredibly efficient on third down. He kept the offense on schedule. And again, that's not the player Carson Wentz is going to be in his career. There's no evidence of that. But the fact that he can do that when that's his role, when that's the game script, is huge. Because my biggest issue is that I've, vocalized constantly, and I'm obviously not Carson's biggest fan. We've talked about that in the pod before. The issues I've always vocalized with Carson have been, is he safe with the football? Can he make good decisions? Is he going to keep an offense on track, or is he going to shoot you in the foot with some of these decisions that he makes? And those two games are perfect. What I expect from him with Arizona is hopefully more of the same, because again, we're at a point where this is a team that the Eagles should go out and beat. Carson shouldn't need to do too much. We kind of talked about this on the timeline a little bit, myself with a couple other Eagles guys and some quarterbacks guys. In 20 games, I think that's the most impressive Carson Wentz performance I've ever seen against Los Angeles. Not from a statistical perspective or from a franchise quarterback perspective, but from a scout's eye, that was exactly what I wanted to see from Carson. He was accurate. He moved defenders with his eyes. He was decisive. He was safe with the football. It was just a great game. Even a little bit better under pressure, which Wentz will never really be great under pressure, but even a little bit better than he usually is. Yeah. So that I want to see more of that. That's what I'm hoping to see.
Yeah, and Fran Duffy, who does great work, pointed out some things that Carson had trouble with in the Chiefs game that he rectified in the Chargers game. So he's learning on the fly, which is encouraging. On the flip side, it's no secret that the Cardinals can't protect Carson Palmer. They're giving up 4.2 sacks per game, which is tied for worst in the league, which being worse than having your quarterback hit the deck when your quarterback is 2 months away from being 38 years old. That's just awful. I would expect a big day from the Eagles defensive linemen. And with that said, I think we see defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz play it nice and safe as he anticipates the Eagles being able to get home with four. And we try to protect against that big play. Maybe we see a little bit more of a two safety look than we've seen. Ben, what say you?
Right. If we saw a similar sort of look as we did in the Giants game, where the pass rush defines the entire game whenever the defense is on the field and has zero sacks, I honestly wouldn't be terribly surprised if it's a similar sense in the way that the Cardinals are going to do everything they can to ensure that this Eagles pass rush cannot consistently arrive. And obviously, I think, the loss of Fletcher Cox again for week two is a big thing. And we've kind of got to talk about that a little bit. Obviously with this calf injury, he did not practice on Wednesday. He did not practice on Thursday. And if you don't practice on Thursday, especially having not been playing the past week, it's pretty much a death knell there for you. You're not going to be playing in the upcoming Sunday.
Right.
And so you'll be seeing Bo Allen there again. But as we kind of talked about, given the struggles that Arizona has running the football, I think that you might see a little bit less of Bo Allen. Bo Allen obviously made the start in place for Fletcher Cox against the Chargers, played 67% of the snaps, did a fantastic job, but he's not the biggest pass rush upside guy you're going to get.
Right.
I think that you might see a little bit more snaps for Elijah Qualls and a little bit more snaps for Justin Hamilton on the interior because they have more of a pass rush sort of a look. And then, talking this offensive line, man, I mean, you're starting guard Mark Iupati is already on IR for them this year. DJ Humphries is out with a knee injury. He's not playing against the Eagles. You've got Alex Boone, another one of their great guards who strained his pec, should not be playing again, but he was limited in practice on Thursday. And so there's a chance that he's Iron Manning the living daylights out of this week, which is nuts. He's not that. I had him written off at that injury. He shouldn't be back already, but he's doing good work. Either way, it's a beat up line. And, and they just brought in Earl Watford off the street to play some guard. So they've got a guy who's it's his first week back there with Arizona. He's been there before, but still, you know, they're ripe for the picking. I think you're going to see a big day, especially from the interior rushers.
Yeah, and you don't see the Cardinals game plan the same way the Giants do in getting rid of the ball as quick as the Giants did against us. There's a reason we didn't have any sacks because the ball was gone in like 1.5 seconds.
Right.
Hopefully you don't see the same thing from the Cardinals. Okay, so real quick, score predictions. I think what Blake Allen Murphy, who we had on Wednesday from Revenge of the Birds, said 31-17 Eagles.
Yeah.
How do you have it?
I honestly really like that score, I wish I could go with it. But if you remember, against the Chargers, I said that we were going to get a couple of Jake Elliott field goals. He was going to keep it going. I didn't expect four. I only had him good for two, but he was killing it. So I'll give him a couple more field goals. I'll go 34-14 Eagles. I like 34-17 better, but it's no fun to be the same. So 34-14.
I think we get an early lead and we get a two-score lead and we kind of ride that out. And then, like, you know, maybe freaking big plays, man. The secondary just bleeds them.
Yeah.
So
it's funny because the Eagles have always struggled, especially under the Doug Peterson era, to get big leads early, road and home. Their splits are pretty poor in that regard, so that'd be nice.
Like, I feel like the Cardinals start to get back in the game because we literally can't cover Larry Fitzgerald. Like, that's my issue. But I'm gonna go.
You mean another garbage fourth quarter? Yeah.
I'm still gonna say we score a lot though. So I'm gonna go. The defense gets some more turnovers than usual, probably on a sack fumble or something like that. I'm gonna say 37-24.
All right. I can get down with that.
Really high scoring game. Okay. Ben, brother, end of the week, man. We're not going to talk to each other until, late Sunday after the game. Do you have anything else for me?
Oh, man, it hurts. I don't know. I'll miss you. Think of me fondly when we say goodnight. I'm so excited for Sunday. Hey, it's been another record-setting week for Locked On Eagles, man. These listeners are killing it. We love you guys. Y'all rock.
So maybe that impassioned plea for bringing your friends on board with Locked On Eagles wasn't necessary, but I felt it necessary anyway due to that poll result. But look, man, I appreciate all the support that you guys have given us. Keep hitting me up in the DM and the PM and whatnot on Twitter and give me nice facts to recite on this show here. I'll make sure to shout you out. Follow us on LockedOnEagles.com. We're going to be bringing Ben's going to be dropping articles this weekend. I'm going to be dropping articles this weekend. We're going to be doing all types of stuff on there as well. So keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. That's not an eagle.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.